I want to start by saying God still speaks to his people. Now we know in Jeremiah 29:11, God speaks through the prophet to his people to declare, "For I know the plans I have for you." Look at your neighbor and say, "God's got a plan for you." And it's of utmost and primary importance that you try to discover what that plan is. And can I say, try to stay away from the hindrances and the distractions that keep you from not only finding out about that plan, but understanding and walking out and completing that plan. Now, it gets a little tricky because then you look at Proverbs 16, and when you read Proverbs 16, it throws a little bit of a curveball because it says the mind of a man plans his way. So you also have the mind that a man which is also making plans. It says, but it's God that directs his path. And so what I want to talk about is when we're looking at mindset, this is all a mindset. And in this mindset series, we have to understand, we got to set our mind on the things of God. And one of those things, and to my opinion, the most important thing, is his plan. His plan for your life. And sometimes we think we have to, in the mind of a man, think up a plan and then get God on board with our plan. God's not going to get on board with your plan. God's not going to bless what you're doing. You need to do what God's blessing. And so we need to find out what is his plan and then cooperate with that plan. So what do we do? How do we struggle? Why are we not finding? You know, why do we find pieces and parts? How do we know when we're there? So I want to chop this up a little bit. I want to break this down. And so I want to look into some scriptures. I'm going to start here. Because when you're looking, I'm going to start in the book of 2 Timothy, and I'm going to start looking at the mind. Because if it's the mind of a man that's making plans, and God already has a plan, then it's the mind is really the only thing that can get in the way of you and God's plan. Can you say amen? So how do we track that mind? How do we get that mind to cooperate and to understand and fulfill this plan? Well, we have to learn sometimes a little bit about the mind. And so 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Why does God make that so pronounced, that he didn't give us a spirit of fear? Because he gives us a plan. And he knows if he gave us a plan, we're not haphazardly wandering around, frolicking out through the universe. I can't tell you how many people I've heard said, "I just don't know what God's plan is for my life." We should know this. You should know this. Because God's already given you a plan, and he understands that if you understand the plan, you have no reason to have any fear. Because if he has a plan and he gave it to you, not only will he go with you, he'll go before you and with you to make sure that plan is through. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will walk it out with you if he can get in your head. And he can't get into your heart until he gets into your head. Point at your neighbor's head and say, we got to fix that thing. Don't leave it there. Look back and say, we got to fix mine too. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, because there's a plan, but of power and of love, and we understand those two, and the sermon's not about that today. I could preach 2 hours not even trying on either one of those topics, but let's just say he gave us power, he gave us love. Understand we have that. That love is unconditional. And the biggest thing we need to take away from the scripture is he gives us a sound mind. Now see, when you say sound mind, what does that really mean? I don't think we could just use the term sound mind, because a sound mind might mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, and it may not mean the thing it's supposed to you. So you know me, I'm going to chop it up. So let's just chop this thing up. And it's, if you want to look at the word, let's just see in its own meaning, in the way it's written in the Bible, it literally means properly, listen to me, safe-minded. The word is sensible. He gave you a mind that is sensible. What does that mean? Here's the rest of the sentence. behavior that fits the situation. God gives us all types of scenarios of how we should act and react in the body. We can look at the model of his own life and see how he acted and reacted to different circumstances and situations. So if you have the mind of Christ, which means you would know the plan of God, amen, Pastor, I'll make that connection for you, then you also should be acting and reacting the same way that Christ would act and react if you want to follow the plan. Seems pretty sensible to me. Now, when it doesn't make sense is when you are a proclaimed person of God, proclaiming the love of Jesus, trying to walk in the place where God has you, and a certain situation may come up. Let's just say somebody cuts you off in traffic. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, so I'm just going to ask a question. At that moment, in that rage, when the person just missed your bumper, took your spot, they got through the light, you didn't get through. Are your actions and reactions sensible? Does it fit the situation? Yeah, I wanted to wring their neck. No. That would be a mindset on the flesh. Not set on the spirit. As your pastor, it is my duty to tell the truth to the best of my ability. I'm still working that one out. There, I said it. I know all of you spiritual folk have it all figured out. Would any of you dare stand up and say you got that one worked out? Because I just want to see what you look like. Then I'm going to go get the oil and I'm going to pour it all over your body. And we're going to anoint you and cast that thing out. Let's face it, we struggle. We fight. Because the mind wants to talk to the flesh. And the flesh wants to react appropriately to fit its situation. When it's really the spirit that needs to be consulted in those moments of rage. So you would act sensible and appropriate, and it would be fitting for the situation. Why would we want to do that? Because that's the mind that God gave us. Say, yes, Pastor. And the other mind needs to be renewed, which means, let's just say it needs fixed. Look at your neighbor and say, your mind's broke. Say, mine too. Now, just both of you say, we got to fix this thing. I mean, can't leave something broke. I know it's broken. Don't correct my English, but it just sounds better when you say it's broke. So, somehow we have to let the Spirit be able to talk to our minds and not listen to the flesh. So we will act sensible and act appropriate to any situation that we may encounter. And it goes on to say that it's aptly acting out God's will by doing what he calls sound reasoning. Now, you've heard me use this example again in the past, but I've got to say it again because there's a lot of new faces here, and you really need to understand this. Because a lot of people are trying to live a Christian life out of your head. And you don't live a Christian life out of your head. You live it out of your heart. Because it's out of that abundance of heart that, first of all the issues of life are there. Every issue you ever have comes out of the heart. Now, I know that, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And, of course, that's what's prophesying your future and all of those things. But remember, every issue you will ever have will start in the heart. So we're trying to live this Christian life, and we're trying to go to mental ascension to conquer and overcome these weak areas in our life. But we have to go back to the heart. We have to go back to the understanding of who we are. So let me put it to you this way. This is an example I like to use. If you take a lemon, I can take that lemon, I can squeeze it, I can press it, I can smash it, I can put it under all kinds of pressure, and it doesn't matter how hard I squeeze it or press it or push it, what happens? What am I going to get out of it? Lemon juice. That's all I'm going to get. Why? Because that's all that's there. You take a Christian, you squeeze it, and you press it, and you squeeze it, you don't know what's coming out. When they took Jesus and they put him on a cross and they squeezed him and they broke him and they said, you know what came out of him? The word. That's all that can come out because that's all that was there because the word was made flesh. The flesh didn't cry out. The word did. And I've taught you many, many times, everybody thought Jesus was dying, you know, giving up on the cross. Oh, why did you forsake me? He was quoting the psalm. He was showing the crowd that this is the moment in Psalms that this is me. This is the moment that is I'm not saying, God, why did you forsake me? That's what was being said about me. So when you crushed him and pressed him, when he got desperate, all he could say was the word because that's all that was in there. Therefore, he fulfilled the perfect plan of God, even through the worst trial, pain, time in his life. He was still able to fulfill that plan. We can learn from this model. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to a cross? Aren't you glad you don't have to be the Savior of the universe? I'm quite happy about it. Matter of fact, this Thanksgiving, I'm very thankful about it. But I still have to fulfill my plan. And you still have to fulfill your plan. And together as a body, which is how we are spoken to, and we are referred to in the Bible as a body, the body has a responsibility to fulfill the plan. And in that plan, there are different parts and different people that have different roles. And if you're not in your place and you're not in your part and you don't have a sound mind and you're not acting sensible, what happens is you have chaos, you have craziness, you have schisms in the body. And that's what the whole New Testament's about. How to get in there and fix that. If your mind's broke, the whole body's broke. You're only as strong as your weakest link. See, we all need to get this fixed. So, if you have a sound mind, that means you also have sound actions and reactions. Now, let's take another little twist, a little turn. Let's look at, we got to understand this mind thing, this mindset. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Take your Bible and circle that place where it says all. Doesn't matter what you try to do. Doesn't matter what you try to plan. Doesn't matter what you try to get involved with or stay uninvolved in. It will never be stable as long as you are double-minded. Now, when you read the definition of double-minded, it literally refers to being, watch this, two-souled. Like you have two souls. You can't serve two masters. You can't be in love with God and the devil at the same time. Why do you get so quiet in here? It's like being two souls. It's like you can't make up your mind. It says, in other words, a person split in half. And it makes a very strong statement. Are you ready here? In the word study, it says, vacillating back and forth, like a spiritual schizophrenic. I could just stop right there and preach on schizophrenia. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that would look like? No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. I had a schizophrenic moment. How many times are we having schizophrenic moments? It's time to do something. We need to do something for God. And all of a sudden, a temptation walks up. And we're, don't do it. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Yes, I do. And I do. That's a schizophrenic moment. I know what I believe. I know what I trust. I know what I believe. I know what I trust. I know what I believe. I know what I trust. And it's in God, in his ways. It's time to pay your tithe. I can't afford it. Schizophrenic moment. Oh, I believe in healing. I believe in divine healing. I believe that by his stripes we were and are healed. No question about it. Healing's the children's bread. But I have a headache. Can you give me that Tylenol real quick? Yeah, it's a schizophrenic moment. Now, I'm not here to say that there's not times and places to do all and to react and all these things, and they are. I'm trying to challenge your faith on a different level, because until we are challenged in faith, we will never understand and find truth. Faith will lead you to the truth. The more you believe, the more you want to know, the more you want to believe in, the more you act on faith, the more truth you find. And when you find truth, truth finds you. And it leads you down a path. It leads you down a way so God can direct you in your path so that you will make the plans in your mind. The mind of a man makes the plans, right? That's how the Lord showed us the blueprint on how it works. But it's still God back here that's directing it. Stay with me. We got to work through this a little bit. I got to let you see what happens to our mind. So we're supposed to have a sound mind, but oftentimes we're not reacting appropriately. We're supposed to not be double-minded, but we're having schizophrenic moments all throughout the day, all throughout the week, all throughout the month. So we got to talk about it, okay? Now, it's really funny because if you look in the Bible, you know, it says that if you have one of those double minds, if you are double-minded, that you're unstable in all ways. That means everything you're doing is just, it's instability. Say instability. Now, I'm a physician, and when I look into the body, anytime I see instability, I also see dysfunction. And we are the body. That's the way God prepares us. So if you get instability in a double-minded person, you get dysfunction. And when anytime you have dysfunction, I work a lot with pain syndromes. And when I see people that have pain and problems, it's almost 99% of the time some form of dysfunction that's creating it. So we as people are going through so much pain, and we have so many problems. And watch this, we can't find a cure. When the cure is stability. Now, in the body, I'll use your back as an example and your shoulder. I can't even lift a can of peas unless my shoulder shunt stabilizes. It has to be stable. And if it shunt stabilizes, then that can of peas is very light. If it's not and it's unstable, I can't even lift a can of peas. And so what it says, when you're double-minded, and whatever you try, you just don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the ability to do the things you could, and you're not as strong as you should be. You're not as facilitative as you should be. You're not as functional as you should be because the stability isn't there. Stability and instability are as far apart as A and Z. And either you are stable in your walk or you are not. There's nothing in between. And if you're unstable and you have instability in parts of your life, then you can't physically even walk out and do the things. If your hip doesn't shunt stabilize for the knee and the knee doesn't go to the screw home mechanism and lock and facilitate all your weight, you will go down like a sack of potatoes. And the forces that are working around you will tear you down to the ground. That's how it is in the spiritual realm. Yeah, he gave you a spirit of power, but if you can't stabilize, you can have all the power in the world, but you're still going down like a sack of potatoes. Why can't I do this? And why can't I do this? And I just don't feel like I used to feel instability. The mind of a man, it's It's double. You're not fixed. You're still making choices. You're still being, you can't, it's not sound. It's not fitting the situation. It's the mind, and it's making you unstable. To the point that when you look in the book of Revelations, he's talking about, okay, we're wrapping this thing up. He said, you're neither hot or cold. Double-minded. He said, I wish you were either. Oh, man. I got to make you see this, okay? If I take a plank and I build a dock and I build a bridge, that dock is a bridge across the deep water, okay? And I want to walk across that bridge to get safely to the other side. If I know the board is strong, I can walk across it with confidence. If I know it's weak, I know to avoid it. I wish you were either. The problem is when I don't know what it is. And I don't know until I put it under some sort of pressure, and then I've already committed. And once I press, if it's not there and it breaks down because it's not strong enough, I'm going down with it. So God's saying, just be hot or cold. I just need to know where you stand. I wish you were one or the other. You can't be double-minded because in the middle, you're messing up too many people's lives, including your own. These are the perspectives that we need to reveal to us as believers, that we have a greater responsibility beyond our own self for our fellow brethren. We are committed to the body. We have to look at what's best for the body. You know, it's okay if temporarily, if my knee isn't stable, because I know it's not stable, so I'm not going to trust it. So I label it, I mark it, and then I brace it up a little bit, and then I can still go on. Maybe I can't do things like I used to, but if I don't and I go to step down on the steps and I'm not sure about this thing, I'm going down and I'm going to have a worse fate than if I just knew. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we have to do a self-diagnosis. And we have to be able to look into our heart and our soul and tell ourselves the truth. Some of us are even lying to ourselves. We have to ask, how is my walk in this direction? How am I operating under pressure? What about when I get financial pressure? How do I respond? And I will tell you, 95% of the people, when they go under financial pressure, they stop giving. Why do I bring up giving? Because how do you walk in abundance? There's only one way, people. Only one way. And that's to be obedient to the word. And this isn't about finance today. I just picked this one, this at the moment, because it came to my mind. Why? Because everyone deals with it. It's the most common thing people battle with is money. So let's talk about it for just a second. So God tells you to do the opposite that what your fear would tell you to do. Why? Because he didn't give you a spirit of fear. And a spirit of fear means, hey, I'm not getting money, I'm going to stop giving money. Well, you just cut off your lifeline. Because if you want to reap abundantly, you have to sow abundantly. And if you're sowing sparingly, what are you going to reap? So you need an abundance, but you just sowed sparingly. What's going to happen? You just self-sabotaged you. You just created a weakness. You just were double-minded. Because you were double-minded, now you're unstable in all your ways. Now you're not going to be able to pay your bills this month because you weren't strong enough to overcome the spirit of fear that God didn't give to you. Therefore, you couldn't operate out of the soundness of your mind and do the right thing that fits the situation. Does that fit the situation? When you need to plant, to harvest, you have to. You need money, but you cut off the source of your money. Does that fit the situation? We got to put it where we live. Got to roll these scriptures together. You got to look at them and see what they're pointing at. They're pointing at how to get you through hard times without feeling the hardness of the times. I could tell you one time we were going through our clinic. We were going backwards at a rate I don't even want to discuss. It was horrible. Going backwards is 20 to 30 grand a month because somebody was stealing from us and we didn't know it. We never missed a tithe check, and we gave in every offering above and beyond what we even had. And we never bounced one check in the process. Our credit stayed perfect. We found it, identified the thief, actually granted the thief mercy. Should have put him in jail, should have put the jail on top of him. Instead, we forgave. It's a whole nother sermon. The pastor was standing up here. I was not the pastor of the church this time, but we were standing right here. The pastor stood up here, and he was prophesying one night. He knew nothing about our situation. We told no one. And this was when it was bad. And he starts prophesying over people, and he starts prophesying over Pastor Nathan and I. 1 year from today, you will be walking in abundance, and you'll be in. We're over here going. Because when you're going backwards at that rate, it's going to be a 5-10 year dig out. So we just listened, and we just said, well, we'll receive it. You know. Didn't know if maybe somebody cleaned his office with. Left the Windex too strong? I don't know. Because it made no sense. And the flesh was saying one thing, but the spirit was saying, just trust God. You just got a word. Why don't you get excited about it? And we did. And we made the pact. We said, well, we're just going with God. It makes no sense right now. We'll walk out of it. Then we identified the thief. Boom. I kid you not. He was like, oh, you'll be out of debt, and you know, all this stuff. And we're like, phew. He said 1 year to the day. I wasn't even thinking about it. Went to the mailbox, and we were, I think, $13,000 away from being completely debt-free. And the Lord had reversed our finances, so we were going ahead that much instead of going back. And I went to the mailbox unknowing, because we were still 13 grand in the hole, to be completely out of debt, which, you know, what's 13 grand when you're that far out of debt? We almost considered ourselves out of debt. And we went to the mailbox, and there was a check for $13,000 and, like, what was it, like $700 and $800. Just a little more. And I went to the calendar. It was 1 year to the day. Now, that happened. I called Pastor David, and I told him. Now, we had an opportunity to walk in a spirit of fear, and we were in fear. I'm just honest about the situation. But instead, we just decided, hey, it's not working out so good feeling this spirit of fear. Why don't we just try God's way? And I could tell you testimony after testimony of things we did along the way in that year. One service, we were sitting there, and the Lord said, I want you to go. He tells Pastor Nisa and I both, he said, I want you to get up and give. And he names five people. He said, I want you to go give them $1,000 each. There's only one problem. We didn't have $5,000. But he said he wanted to go write him a check for $5,000. I told Pastor Nisa, he said, told me the same thing. I said, do it. So we're delivering checks in here to people. I don't know why. Why? He's never had me do it again. Well, why am I doing this? You know, they were happy. And so I said, well, okay. I'm like, I kid you not. The next week at the clinic, we set a record week. And we made double that in profit. As well as pay all our bills and everything else that we did. Took our salary. I'm not talking about that. Above and beyond. Was it like 2 weeks later? 2 weeks later, then he tells us to go. So another, it's like $3,000 or $4,000. I don't remember exactly. And we were just like starting to get back to the even point again here. He's like, so another $3,000. In that week, we had had a bunch of expenses hit us. And he was testing us again. And it wasn't in there. So, I said, what do you think? They told me the same thing. I said, okay. So we write the check. The next week, we had a record week that beat the record before. Now, all those things happened in between there, and you know, you can't unlive something. That happened, and no one will ever take that away from us. And I will never forget it till the day I go to the grave. And it did something in me then. It created a stability in me then that has followed me for the rest of my life. I have never worried about finance another day in my life. Whether I've had it, whether I haven't, whether it's coming, whether it's not coming, I just know it'll be there when it needs to be. And it always have. I might not have $100 million in the bank, but I do have an unfailing cruise of oil. And anytime I need to get bread, I can make it for one or I can make it for 5,000. And it'll be there. As long as I'm going according to the plan. Stick to the plan. Get off the plan. You'll watch your money just fade away into darkness. With the plan, not only is there enough, there is always more than enough. He meets every need. Maybe not all your wants, but every need. Now, you can come up here and look at my sermon notes. None of that was in my sermon notes. I just felt like that's what the Lord just wanted me to say right there. And it just came on me by unction as I was speaking to you. Because how can I better demonstrate double-mindedness that I love you, Lord, I trust you, God, I believe you, but I'm not going to give. I'm going to pull three wadded-up $100 bills and put them in an offering, so, you know, fatten them up a little bit so it looks like more than it is. Roll them up in a fat ball so everybody can think I'm putting my... Listen. You're only hurting yourself. I'm just trying to help you. We're going to be fine either way. This is his house. And he's going to build it. The gates of hell can't even prevail against it. I'm not worried about it. But I want to share it with you because that's what we're talking about is the mindset. What is our mindset? It's making us weak and we can't do the thing. Do you know how many people he's wanting to bless? He's wanting to make you financial channels. He's wanting to trust you to do bigger things, but he can't trust you with $10. How is he going to give you $1,000? And when he gives you $1,000 and you're not faithful, then how can he trust you with $100,000? And when you get $100,000 and you hoard it up, how can he trust you with $1,000,000? And just keep going. I got to move on. Isaiah 26. Now he talks here. He says, the steadfast of mind. There is a mind that just digs in with God, and it doesn't move. That plow goes in the ground, and it stays right in the rut, buddy. It's not jumping out. It doesn't look to the left. Doesn't look to the right. It's the steadfast of mind. And it says, you will keep perfect peace because he trusts you. See, when I want to step out on that dock, that board can be trusted. I'll step on it every time. I'll dance on it if I need to. I can trust it because it's steadfast. It's not going anywhere. That word you know what the word steadfast there means? It literally means propped up. It means braced. If I was trying to shore up that dock, what would I do? I'd take another board alongside it or underneath it, and I'd tack that in there, and I would brace that thing off. I might even take another angle on it to strengthen it with another angle. So I would brace it. A steadfast mind is one that's braced. So no matter what angle you hit it from, doesn't matter what you come at it with, it just acts the way it's supposed to. And it causes you to act and react the way you're supposed to. That's what a steadfast mind does. And so, guys, I'm talking about mindset here. We've got to get this in our mind because, listen to me, if the whole universe, according to Hebrews, says that it's framed with the Word of God, so is your mind. And anytime you have a weakness, you got to pick up this Word and you got to brace it. You got to brace it off. You got to get that weak spot. You got to fix that bad board. You got to fix it. So you got to get it steadfast. You got to get it solid. You got to get it braced off. If I was just talking a few minutes about finance and you're like, well, how would I use that to brace me off? How would I do that? You give an offering. Or do what the Lord tells you financially. Start paying your tithe. Whatever it is. I don't know why I keep coming back to finance today, but it just seems to be what's fitting. If it's in your body, the Bible says it's better to put a knife to your throat than to be a glutton. And you're eating the wrong way, and your doctor's already told you 5 times to change your eating habits. Hello, somebody. I'm reaching maybe perhaps a larger audience now. You know you're diabetic and you won't put down the ho-hos and the ding-dongs. You follow me? Then a sound mind also is the word for discipline. So we have to have a disciplined mind. And we have to be able to say no when it's no. And this is not good for me. You have to brace it off. So you have to quit eating the ho-hos and lock the Twinkie box, okay? That's what it would look like. That's how you would brace it off. You see what I'm saying? You would let the Word of God say, I have to have self-control. I know all things are good for me, but all things are not expedient. I mean, all things are not expedient. You can eat any of them, the Bible says. But it doesn't mean it's good for you. It's not expedient. But then it says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And when you're choosing that over your own health, it's fixed. It's not appropriate. Doesn't fit the situation. Doesn't fit God's plan. God doesn't want you to die prematurely. He doesn't want you to run out of money in the middle of your venture that you're doing for God. We got to fix it. Got to brace it. Steadfast. Then you have perfect peace. I don't know about you, man. I'm hunting some peace. When you renew the mind, it just means I'm rebuilding it. Okay. It's quiet. That means you're dealing with it. The Word of God frames the universe. It also frames your mind. So in Romans 8 and 6, I spent a whole sermon on this last time. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. The flesh is the negative part of you. The spirit is the positive part of you. In order for you to gain access in either one of those things, it's activated by 3 things. Either your thoughts, your words, or your actions. And almost flows in that order. Because once it's in your thoughts, it gets down in your heart. And once in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. And once you're talking about it, you're going to be doing it. Why? Because the moment you say it, you just prophesied it. That's a whole nother sermon. So how do we get to perfect peace? Okay, I'm going to break this last part down here. I'm going to try to roll through this, but I want you to hear me. I'm going to throw a term on you. The Lord gave me this term, and I just, it was in my prayer time. He just kept saying this word over to me, these two words. And so I started just, you know, checking out, doing some research. And the words are mind traps. Mind traps. The only way we're not doing something, and the only reason that we would not be doing something fitting when we know something's correct, is we're getting trapped. So we'll talk about the mind traps. Can I also call them thinking errors? Negative automatic thoughts. You're having them, you're not even trying, and they're coming automatically. And they're unuseful. They're not helpful. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they're inaccurate and they're critical. Ooh, don't look at anybody right now. Because they're probably having those thoughts about you right now if you do. I saw the way you looked at me. Talking about me, aren't you? I don't know. Might be. You tell me. Can I say it this way? They're simply counterproductive to the things of God. And so, mind traps, What they do is they consume your thinking. They cause you to focus on what you pay attention to. They impact on the things that you do and how you feel about those things. Definitely affect your decision making and your actions. So you can fall into that state of mind. Listen to me. You can fall into this state of mind, a mind trap, at any time. Sometimes, let me put it this way. You're probably more likely to fall into one when you're under stress. Because when you're stressed, you know, the mind is a little chaotic anyway. That's just natural physiology. And so you're not really hardwired at that moment for the best decision. And you're probably then, if your spirit's not strong enough, you're going to go ahead and follow that weak-minded flesh that's out there in chaos. And you're going to make a decision that's wrong, and you're going to have to live by it, right? So that's one of those mind traps that when you're under stress, you're going to have negative thoughts. It's always worse. You know, you're sitting there, you're stressed out already. You've had a bad week. You go to your doctor. They find something, and, you know, there's something here we're not sure about. Of course, it has to be cancer. Has to be. I mean, it's bad, right? It's the first thing your mind goes to. It's terrible. Oh, no, and they're like, we don't like what this looks like, and blah, 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 blah. Comes back 2 weeks later, and it's fine. It was a pimple. Just an ugly, horrible-looking pimple. The ugliest pimple you've maybe ever seen. It has no cancer, though. But for a moment, the pimple had you. Are you listening to me? And if you keep seeing enough pimples, eventually you are going to have cancer. I've heard people say, they can't find it, but I know I have it. This isn't an Easter egg hunt. We don't want to find it. Are you kidding me? I just know I have it. I mean, I just know. Well, if you already know, you're about to proclaim a self-fulfilling prophecy. Will you please put a sock in it? So these mind traps, we talk ourselves in or out of our problems. Another quick one, I'm going to run through these very quickly. I only have two more to talk about. The first one is forecasting. You know what forecasting is? It's when you find yourself thinking of things and they're going to turn out bad. You don't even know what they are yet. You don't even know how the outcome's going to be, and you're already talking bad about them. How many times have you ever said, I just stay overwhelmed? Really? You just stay overwhelmed? There's no other time in your life but just overwhelming. Because it looked to me like you were sleeping. And when your lip was laying down and drool was coming out of your mouth, you just did look overwhelmed at that moment. But you stay overwhelmed. Really? Are you serious? And the Bible says that God won't put more on you than you can handle. So I don't know that you're overwhelmed all the time. You stay there? Come on. I'm never going to get that promotion. As a man thinketh, you're right. You never will. I'm talking to somebody, and I hope you're listening. Well, I guess this is it for me. Pack it up. I mean, you just said it. There's no proof of it. It's in theory. But you've already accepted it. You know, I've just always seen that God makes a way where there is no way. And why do we preach this every Sunday if we're just, well, I guess this is it. It's a mindset. Go ahead and play, Josh. I like that. How about this one? And I'll end on this one for this particular section. Yep, Christmas is going to be a nightmare this year. You want me to go ahead and call Freddy Krueger for you? I mean, what do you... Really? Now, I'm not saying you said those exact words, but did you even say anything close to it? All because you're looking at situations, you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Let me tell you something. Are you alive? Are you going to eat? Do you have loved ones around you? I say it's going to be the best Christmas you've ever had if you want to make it that. It's only going to be what you say it is. It's only going to be what you make it. You don't have to accept suck. Well, this sucks. Don't accept that. God. Then we start speaking it over people. You ever done that before? Never. Never done that. Would never say that. They're never going to be good at that. They're never going to be good at that. You know this. You're a bona fide prophet? Because there's a lot that can happen between now and then that can educate them, instruct them, teach them, anointing could come on them to be able to be something. I'm sure when they were staring at David, he's a little kid right there, he's going to be king. A little dirt ring around his neck, you know. I don't know that he had a dirt ring, but I'm pretty sure he did. He lived in the desert. I think he had a dirt ring. I don't think he's it. Well, the problem was he was it. You may not think of it. You might be it. Well, they're bound to mess this one up. Aren't you kind of setting them up for failure? They're bound to mess this up. What are you supposed to do? They're messing it up. How about I'm going to make sure that they're going to do a good job because I'm going to assist them and I'm going to train them and I'm going to teach them and I'm going to walk them through it. That's how the Spirit of God talks. Now, there are times and places where people are just simply not talented enough to reach a certain level. I'm pretty fast. I can run fast. It's been a gift my whole life, but I'm no Olympic athlete. Dorothy, on the other hand, could have been in the Olympics. You understand? Doesn't mean I'm not fast. Doesn't mean I'm just at a certain level. And I can accept that. That's not being negative. That's being realistic. But the rationalism is, he'll never be a runner. I can still be a runner. I just might not be in the Olympics. You got it? Why am I saying all these things? Because we're speaking things over ourselves and over people. And it's a mind trap. We're trapping ourselves. And we become, we're unstable. As a group, we're unstable because we're not walking in the confidence that God wants us to walk in. I'm going to have to cut it off right there. Don't worry, this is a series. We'll finish. And what I want to do is challenge us when we're going through these things in mindset is don't get trapped in your mind. Check yourself. Look at the last three things that happened to you. Just go back three things. Did I react the way I really should have reacted? If the answer is obvious, fix it. The next three things are coming. So fix it on the next three. Say amen, Pastor. That's a great advice. Are you still double-minded? Are you still saying and believe one thing, but then you're doing another? When it comes right down to it, you're doing something different. That's double-minded. It's going to follow you into every area of your life. It'll follow you into your relationships even, especially. So you just got to make up your mind to make up your mind. And then you got to set it. Set your mind on it. Set it. I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4 and 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, just one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Set it and forget it. Can you please stand to your feet? Close the crowd. So much more that we need to dig out there, but that's enough for today. That's enough. We'll just pick this up. Next time we're together, I'll just pick this up right here. Are you guys okay with this? You guys okay with this flow? Guys, this may be some of the most important stuff that I ever teach, because this is what we're living with every single day. And so what I want to do, this church is an atmosphere for change. It's a way to hear the truth and have a chance to respond to it. If you respond to the truth, truth will change you. Truth will draw you toward the fix. And the fix is always the love, peace, and the joy of God. God can heal anything in your life if you will set your mind to it. I'm going to say it again. Proverbs 16 clearly states, says, clear as a bell, not sneaking up on anybody. I love what's going on right here, right now. I love what's going on right here, right now. That it is the mind of a man that plans his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. So what does that mean? What you're saying is, everything that you're saying and you're thinking is planning your future. And whatever that is, then God has to navigate around many times your poor planning. To fix the plan, you have to fix the planner. The mind of a man plans his ways. Fix the plan, fix the planner. Fix the planner. So today, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about what you're doing, not doing. Where your thoughts are leading you. Are they constructive or are they destructive? Are you hostile on certain things? Are you resistant to anything that God is declaring? Are you at war with your flesh? Are you fighting an addiction? Are you struggling with a challenge? Are you walking in fear? Is somewhere there's a measure of disbelief, because you wouldn't be doing certain things if you truly believed what God said about them. I don't know what it is for you. The Holy Spirit does. Actually, he says he'll search your entire heart. He's searching every part of your being right now. So while he's searching, you look with him. And in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity, and we're going to let God fix this. To fix the plan, you fix the planner. That's his plan. How many people would agree? And you might say today, I got some things that need fixed. My hands up. My hands up. Every time we have church, you should be here. Why? Because it fixes you. Pastor, I listen to podcasts, and it is not the same as being in the presence of the Lord amongst believers. It's not the same. listen, it's good edification and it's good as accessory. Don't get me wrong to what we're doing here. It does not take the place of being here physically and experiencing what you're experiencing right now. There's one thing to feel something, there's another thing to experience it. We don't want you to know about God, even though we do want you to know. We want you to experience Him. Because until you experience Him, it's just a belief. Once you experience Him, it's real. It's real. Like I said, those things that happened to me, no one will ever tell me different. Oh, and that was just sure happenstance. No, it wasn't. Because I could tell you 40 more other things to go with Him. I just ran out of time. And if I have my thing, you have your thing. What has God done for you to show you? You know it's God. Can't be anyone else. But more importantly, how many more things do you want Him to show you? I'm looking forward to Him showing me a few more things about how His faithfulness works. I like learning about the things of God. I like watching Him work in my life. I like watching Him put my mess back together so I don't do it again. How about you? So what I want to do is I'm feeling led by the Spirit to do it this way, and I'm just going to go with the way the Lord's instructing me. If you're here today and you know you need something fixed, just walk right down here. Just go ahead. Before you even have time for your mind to get involved, you just come down here and let's get it fixed. We're going to get it fixed right now. We're going to speak to the mind. There's anointing present with every word that's taught to be able to destroy the yoke that's creating what we were talking about. Because that's how the word and the anointing work together. Some of you that are coming down right now, you almost feel like you're at the place of, I'm past that point. I'm not at the end of my road, I'm past that point. Some of you may be approaching that point. But I'm sensing here a heavy sense of I'm past even the point of where I needed to be. And God's about to reel it back. But watch this time, not only is He going to change your direction, listen to what I'm saying. Oh, wow, Lord, that's heavy. He's not changing your path. He's going to change your scenery. Whoa. See, you've been looking at things one way when really things need to be viewed in another. He's explaining it to me this way. There's so many times we're always looking at what we don't have and what someone's not doing. But what do we have? And what are they doing for us? And we need to major on the majors and minor on the minors. And we're majoring on the minors right now. And I'm telling you, the enemy will use lack in your life, lack in anything. Whether he'll use a lack of love, he'll use a lack of finance, he'll use a lack of a need, lack of provision. Anything he can find, he will use that lack. And he will scream the loudest from that place. He will make that the biggest thing in your life when really it's the smallest. Listen to me. I'm speaking under unction right now. Some of you don't really need anything to change physically. You know what needs to change? Your mind. The way you're thinking about it. The way you're viewing it. When I was in trouble financially, I was looking at it like a disaster. God was looking at it as an opportunity. I could not stand here today with the confidence I have to speak what I'm speaking to you had I not been through that situation at that moment. God used it as an opportunity for what I'm doing right now. Do you understand? Every challenge you face is only an opportunity for something greater on the other side. We don't have problems. We only have opportunities. Say it. I don't have problems. I only have opportunities. And for every opportunity you have a directive in this Bible who will overcome and tell you the plan on how to move through to the other side. So all we got to do is get back to the plan. But first we got to fix the planner. And the first thing we're going to have to start with is right here. Either you trust God or you don't. You got to make up your mind to make up your mind. Either you do or you don't. You're either going to do it your way or you're going to do it His. You can keep trying to do it your way. You can keep getting your flesh involved. And let's just see how that works out for you. Or you can say, no, this is God's way. And it will cost every piece of your flesh to follow it. But if you will go ahead and make that sacrifice today, you're living sacrifices. You know, it's sometimes it would be easier to die as a sacrifice because then it's over. No, living is harder because you have to live through it. Live through the pain. Live through the struggle. Live through the aggravation. Live through the irritation. But when you get on the other side, there is a due season. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't faint, whatever version you want to read it from, you're here right now where you're standing because you didn't quit. Now, God brought you to a place just like when God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah to the people saying, I got a plan. He's speaking through me right now to tell you He's already got a plan. And it's good. It's not to harm you. It's good. God is setting you up for success. And by the fact that your mind is on Him right now, and you're standing where you're standing, your mind is planning your way. Now you are in the plan of God. This is where it starts, right here. This is where you make up your mind today. So right now, this is on you. I'm not going to touch you. Nobody's going to pray for you. Watch this. You're going to make a decision. I can pray for everything but your will. If I was anointed to change your will, we wouldn't have altar calls. The Holy Spirit Himself does not change your will. He offers guidance away from a certain way of action and thinking. So this is all about a decision today. You thought you were just coming to church. This is about a decision that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. You're going to have to make it, and you're going to have to make it right now. And I'm telling you, once you make it, you better not look back. I don't want to hear any excuses. Don't come to me. If you're following the plan, I'll go to the grave with you. I'll sweat. I'll get down. I'll pray to my knees. I'll get on my knees till I ain't got no skin left on my knees. But if you're not going to walk with God, you're not going to do it. How am I going to help you? How is anybody in this church going to help you? We're either going to follow the plan or we're not. We're a body. So today, you got to change your mind. Steadfast. I'm going to brace it off right now. Whatever that weakness was, I don't know what it was. I don't know what was illing you, irritating you, getting to your craw. It doesn't matter. Let it go. You say, today, God, I'm going to do it your way. God, it may just rub your flesh the wrong way. It may be 180 degrees of what you want. Do you want God's plan for your life? Yes or no? I promise it will be better than your plan for your life. So right now, I want everybody to close your eyes. I don't even want you to see anybody else. If you close your eyes, you're only looking at yourself. Every eye closed. Don't you dare look around right now. Right now, you need to look at yourself. And then by closing your eyes, that's what you're doing. And I want you to focus on the Spirit of the Lord. And I want you to make an affirmative remark to God. I want you to actually tell Him. And everybody has to tell Him in the way you talk to God. I can't even say it for you in a prayer. You're going to say it. But whatever way you talk to God, whatever verbiage you use, I want you to tell God, God, first of all, I'm sorry. That's where it starts. Lord, I'm sorry. Then don't you go ahead and just tell Him, say, I deviated from the plan. I know I did wrong, but I want to fix it. That's called repentance right there. Once you make a prayer of repentance, you have God's full attention. And you tell God, whatever way you tell Him, to say, Lord, I'm going to let Your Holy Spirit now begin to guide and direct me. And you tell Him you're going to quit listening to your flesh. And every time that head wants to do something, your heart's going to set it straight. Because it's what's in your heart that makes a man. The issues come out of the heart. Say, God, You're in my heart. You have my heart. Don't ever let your heart be hardened. So you tell God right now, say, I don't care how, I don't care. You tell him your way. Say, I don't care how hard this is. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care how it makes me feel. I don't care if I have to go home and cry for 6 hours. I'm going to do it Your way. I don't care if it costs me everything. I'm still going to do it Your way. There's only one way, and that's Your way. So I'm going to deny my emotions. I'm going to deny my feelings. I'm going to divorce my negative way of thinking. I'm going to forgive the people in my life I need to forgive right now. Say it. And if you have a name, say, I forgive so-and-so, whatever it is. Say it. Say, I forgive them right now. Forgive them. Go ahead. Let it go. All that ought you have against them, let it go. That's how you fix it. You say, I don't care what they said to me. I don't care how they treated me. I'm going to be as kind and as sweet to them as I can. Because that's who I am. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to walk out the plan of God for my life. And I will see it come to fruition. Not some of it, all of it. Tell Him. I'm directing you, but you tell Him. Go ahead. Say what needs to be said. Get it out. These words you're speaking right now are setting you free right now. These words you're saying right now are setting your mind. And it's out of your mind that this plan comes. In fact, you're opening up yourself to God's Spirit right now. To be truthful and honest means you're coming into oneness with His plan for your life. What's happening right now is what He's been wanting for a long time. That is to get your attention. Now He's got it. You have His. Let's fix it, church. Let's fix it. Tell Him what you need to tell Him. Tell Him right now. Don't hold anything back. Not one thing. And you reassure Him that you will do whatever it takes to stay with His plan. It's a day of change right here. Glory to Him. Prophetic day for a shift. And He's been tormenting, wreaking havoc in this body. tempting, aggravating, irritating, scaring, getting people in fear about things. It's all a lie. It's all a deception. God's plans are to prosper you. That means every part of your life gets better. That's what that means. Every part of your life. And you need to be assured of it. And from this day forward, whatever happens, you take a minute. You drop back and you think in your heart, am I going to react the right way or the wrong way? And at that moment, you should already have your answer. If you're committed to Him now. Go ahead and say, God, prepare me for what's coming this week. I know it's going to come. Prepare me right now. Tell Him, prepare me what's going to come for the month. Some of y'all might happen on the ride home from church. Say, God, prepare me. I want to be ready. I want to be able to know how to handle it. Give me the wisdom, the knowledge, Lord. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to mess up. Come on, talk to Him. Tell Him. You have to say it. I can't ask for you. You got to tell Him, say, Lord, I want this to be the best year of my life. This next year, I literally want it to be the best year of my life. That's how I talk to Him. I'm looking forward to my best year next year. My best year ever next year. But there's some things I got to do. There's some commitments I got to make. Whatever it is, you got to say it, guys. You got to say it. Come on, we're almost done. Let's just get it done. Get it said. We're going to fix this. Before we leave this altar today, when we walk out of here, we're not going to think, we're going to know. So, Lord, while they're praying, I'm going to pray over each and every one of them, Lord, and I pray that You would fix their mind on the things that are good and holy and pure and just. Lord, I pray that You're going to think of things excellent and worthy of praise. Lord, I pray from this moment on against the hindrances and the distractions and against the attacks from the enemy. Lord, I ask You to put a hedge of protection around them to keep them safe and to guard them. Pray that their children are blessed. And that, Lord, the hands of the enemy have to now loosen. The grip loosens. It can no longer hold them captive any longer. Them or their loved ones or their family or their friends. Lord, I pray that there's so many things to be thankful about, but Lord, there is about to be a whole lot more. And I see it in the future. I see it in the present. I see it in things to come, Lord. And I thank You for what I'm seeing, because I am seeing complete and total reconciliation. I'm seeing total restoration in Jesus' name. Say, I am restored. Say it. Completely. Fully. Say, I am whole again. Say, I am the Lord's. I will walk with Him. I will not disobey His word. I am a child of God. And now I'm going to act like it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give Him some praise right now. Come on, He just fixed it for you. He just fixed it for you. It's fixed.
Savior,
hey.
The one
fixed,
who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
To declare that I saw the Lord and He heard.
Come
and
on,
He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. I saw the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him.
This is what we mean when we say not just knowing about him, but experiencing him. I'm going to end where I started. God still talks to his people. Every morning, through the day, every evening, every night, I want you to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. He's going to come to you at different times. He's going to come through unction. And you're just going to have a knowing in your knower. Doesn't come in an audible voice. It's just a knowing comes upon you. Sometimes it's just an experience of his presence. And when he is, I want you to yield to that, whatever it is. And I want to let it remind you of the commitment that you made. Guys, today, when we walk out of here, we walk out of here changed. That means all of our situations are changing as well. Come on, give him praise one more time before we go. Right before I turn it back over to Pastor Remy, I do want to thank everyone for being a part of the service today. I want to thank you for engaging in the Spirit and moving and walking in the deeper things of God. If you're pliable and you're willing, he'll allow you to eat the good of the land. And so I pray this Thanksgiving you eat real, real good.